Hi, you're listening to Infinite Lives Number 1. My name is Dan Paredes, and I'm here with my buddy John Hood.
Hello.
And this is our first podcast. It's going to be a multi-part. We're trying to go through our personal video game history, and in this first part, we're talking about our very first video game memory through the early days of the NES.
All right, so we started recording.
Yeah.
Here we go. You've made notes?
I made notes.
You made notes. Look at you. I'm not even... Eric,
this is my business.
Serious business then.
This is serious business.
So
we're going to try to talk about some of our video game history, personal history.
Indeed.
So why don't we just start with you, John?
Okay.
What's your first video game experience?
The first video game that I remember playing is Centipede on an arcade machine, of all things.
This was back...
I think around. I was 4 at the time.
You remember playing video games at 4 years old?
I do, indeed. It's the reason I remember it is because one of my mom's friends actually owned a Centipede machine in their home.
So this would make it like about 1983?
Yep, approximately 83. We just moved to Southern California, I believe. Or this is like one of the earliest memories I have. So yeah. And one of my mom and dad's friends that we'd visit pretty much every weekend, maybe even every couple days, they had a Centipede machine in their house. So while the parents were hanging out and, you know, enjoying each other's company, they would plop me in front of the Centipede machine, and I would sit there for hours, just bam, 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 bam,
that's never
over, over and over again. I got good. That was my game for quite some time.
Ball and everything.
Oh yeah, it had the trackball and everything. That thing had great action.
It was on free play.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. The worst thing to do to a kid is send him into an arcade and give him free play.
Yeah,
we take that for granted now.
I used to dream about free play.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Arcade machine.
Yeah. I remember dreaming of having my own arcade machine one day. Still do. Just not sure which arcade machine I would want.
Let's see. My first tangible memory of a video game was probably on my dad's IBM PC Junior. And this is before... This is back in the Philippines before we moved to the United States. And I'm going to guess that I was 5. And my brother was playing Bruce Lee, which is a terrific game.
Okay.
It's basically Bruce Lee in, I don't even know if that's 4-bit or 1-bit. It's just terrible graphics, but Bruce Lee's running around collecting lanterns.
Lanterns, okay.
And he's being chased by a ninja and a sumo guy.
Okay.
And you're basically going through all these screens, and once you collect all the lanterns, you can progress to the next part because it opens up the thing. And the last boss is this big... If I remember, it looks like a Buddha statue who's throwing fireballs at you,
sure.
And you run to the right and collect the lantern, and then you win.
So this was the inspiration for Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, then? That whole sequence?
Well, you remember that... Remember in Fist of Legend when he's trying to get all of the lanterns so he could beat Chuck Norris? Yeah, that happened.
You got lanterns in that movie? Return of the Dragon?
Well, it's just...
I just remember ripping out his chest hair on Chuck Norris.
I don't understand... why there was a bunch of lanterns, but yeah, you could do a jump kick, and then you could do a punch.
Okay.
But the funny thing is that I didn't actually play that game too much until I was a couple years older, but what my brother would do, he would hog the computer, and I'd ask him if I could play, and he would give me the second joystick and tell me I was controlling the ninja guy. And I really thought I was controlling the ninja guy for, like, hours.
You thought you were brilliant with that AI, didn't you?
Yeah.
Every time you kill him, would you cheer? Would you go, yeah, I got you.
No. You to actually get beaten up by the ninja guy or the sumo guy was quite a feat. Like,
oh, okay.
You would normally die from spikes or falling off something.
He was Bruce Lee, after all, so.
Yeah. He didn't look like Bruce Lee. He looked like he had boxing gloves.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
But you enjoyed, you remember that immensely. Fond memories of the IBM PC.
Yeah.
See, the first PC game I played was on the Apple IIe's at school. And it was all about the Oregon Trail and number munchers and word munchers.
I remember this I remember this girl in our class went, stuck the disk, you know, like you'd have to put the floppy disk in, like the actual floppy disk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she must have done something where once it was in, she like pushed it up or something and messed up the disk drive. And we couldn't play Oregon Trail.
Oh, did you only have one computer?
No, we had a lot of computers, but the teacher got mad. Those are expensive back then.
Oh, yeah, no, computers were not cheap. That's why I didn't have one, so.
Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail was
a bunch of bullshit.
No, it was a bunch of greatness.
I don't think
it was.
I've never actually gone to Oregon.
Oh, I got there.
In Oregon Trail.
I got to Oregon.
I killed all the animals.
That's all
I ever wanted to play.
Yep. Kill the buffalo.
I didn't want to do anything else but shoot animals.
Kill the buffalo. 800 pounds of meat, but you can only carry 100 back to the train.
Native Americans would just cry.
Yep.
They would walk it through the plains and find like a rotting carcass of water buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
And just be like, why?
Because you were hunting and you could keep shooting animals.
They give us the flu and they make all of our meat rotten.
The smallpox.
Oh, gosh. And then you must ford the river.
Yes, don't try to ford. No, don't ford the river. What are you, crazy? You caught the wagon and floated across.
Ford the river.
Or you hire the Indian guide.
My wheel broke. We're all going to die. That game wasn't realistic, though. There was no option to actually eat your own party members.
No. But there was plenty of dysentery. There was always dysentery.
Yeah, that's the funny thing with that game is that every kid in that area knew what dysentery did.
Yep.
And knew that it was bad. And knew how to spell it.
Yeah.
Because your guys always had it.
Yep. Or a fever. Everybody had a fever or dysentery.
Well, and it was a morbid game, too, because you could see the gravestones of all of the people that died.
Yep.
I don't understand. Like, we were so sheltered. Well, people tried to shelter us if you're, like, 7 years old. But here's a game, and you just named your party members all your best friends.
Yep.
And here's your gravestones. How's it going?
Yeah.
Let's get a typing tutorial. Let's keep going with this computer shit.
That's why you had number munchers and word munchers to lighten things up afterward.
Remember there was the typing game where it was just like nonsense? It wasn't even words.
I didn't play that
one. Oh, we literally
didn't learn on our computers. We played Oregon Trail. We played number munchers and word munchers. That was the extent of our computer learning in that class.
What's word munchers?
It was the same concept as number munchers. It was like,
what's number
it would
munchers?
Say, you've never heard of number munchers?
I can't.
You would have like, it was a like a 4x4 grid that would show you, there would be a bunch of numbers on it. And when you would look at the, when you would start the level, you'd have your little number munchers guy. And what he would do is he would go, you would get a goal, which most of the time was it would be like multiples of 4. See, like multiples of 2. And you had this little green guy who would walk around, and you would munch by hitting the space bar.
I've never seen this before. John just brought up a DOSBox image of number munchers, and that's not that bad graphics. That red guy, look,
oh, yeah.
There's shading on that.
I don't know. There was a green, just a regular like.
Oh yeah, well yeah. Our monitors were all like Apple computers, so it was just green.
See, and then you get like a little Pac-Man-esque stuff in there. See, yeah, look at that. Multiples of 17, like you have crazy like mathematical stuff. This is probably this is probably one of the reasons I got good at math is because I could do number munchers pretty quickly.
That's crazy. No, I just remember Oregon Trail and some collect lanterns. See, I told you this Bruce Lee game.
Wow, that's
well
that looks nothing like Bruce Lee.
This is
That doesn't look
if
like
if you it. Google Bruce Lee Commodore 64, you will see the awesomeness of Bruce Lee the game. Like it makes no sense.
That is a colorful game. Is that Bruce? Wow, that's a terrible.
What's great? See, like you can see the ninja. What's great about the games in this era is that they would have the title character or the subject or the movie or the comic book that it's based on. But it would look nothing like anything. It would look like anything that it's actually based on. Predator on the regular Nintendo didn't look anything like Predator the movie. Bruce Lee does not look anything like anything that he's ever done.
No,
like,
why
is he collecting lanterns?
I get your whole boxing gloves things, but
he
boxing gloves. But I get where that's from. Because in the beginning of Enter the Dragon, he's wearing those black
fingerless
gloves.
Yeah, and then
so that's what he looks like. He's got no shirt, but they didn't give him the Speedo. They just gave him full pants.
Yeah, he had Speedos. Yeah, they gave him full pants. And look, I was the
you were the ninja.
I was the ninja.
The sumo guy?
That's
oh my
a sumo
God.
Guy. For whatever reason, he's green.
Oh,
he looks like the Hulk.
So this is you. IBM had a color computing or had a color monitor at this time.
We had a CGA monitor, so it was not looking like this.
No, it was
this
not
is
that
much
colorful.
More colorful.
This is much more colorful than what you got.
Oh
man,
that looks like a way older version. But anyway, yeah, most of my early gaming was all on PC or Apple.
Wow.
So
yeah, mine was arcade, and then after I moved out of, or it was a year later, I want to say it must have been when I turned 6, because that was 85 when the Nintendo came out in the US, right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure that was the time. And so after that, when I turned 6 for my 6th birthday, my mom got me the ultimate set for the Nintendo. So I got the Nintendo with Rob.
Nice.
Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and Gyromite when they were still separate cartridges.
I always wanted Rob.
Rob the Robot was badass. Through the glasses of nostalgia. When you look at Rob the Robot now, you're like, wow, that was a gimmicky thing if I've ever heard one. But hooking that thing up took about 40 minutes to hook up the Nintendo. Because we didn't have a cable-ready TV, because those were not very prevalent at the time. So you had
the little RF switch with
the
screws.
RF switch. You had the little screws that would go into the back of your TV with the prongs.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Had to hook it up that way. And then the RF switch, of course. And then you had the power brick. So you had to hook that thing, find a wall outlet for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to say Rob took 4D batteries.
Oh, man.
Was it 4 C's?
Does anything in life actually take B batteries anymore?
Flashlights usually still take B batteries. But yes, it's very uncommon that you see D batteries required. So he took 4 D's or 6 C's. Can't remember specifically. But then there was the Gyromite spinner, which took a D battery. I remember that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So setting up Rob was this big contraption. And then putting it on the carpet, and then firing up Gyromite for the first time, walking up to that first pillar and just standing there and going, okay, how does this work? Okay, I have to hit select to make my guy look at the screen, and then I have to hit the button to make the flashes appear so that Rob knows where to go.
It's great.
Oh, yeah. Until you finally figured out when you got bored enough with it and the other person picked up the second controller and started just hitting the buttons for you.
So did that set come with the Zapper and
yes.
Duck Hunt and everything?
Yeah, it was. I got all 3 of the games. Yeah, that was my birthday present for the year.
I wonder how much that was. That must have been like $400.
I don't know if it might have been $250 or $300. I'm guessing on the retail price. I'd have to take a look at that.
Yeah, we'll look it up.
We'll look it up. But yeah.
I didn't get a Nintendo until probably almost close to 1990. Yeah, so most of my gaming was like I said, on PC and Apple, and so when we moved to the States, I did a lot of Karateka.
Oh, I know about that game. I never played it, but...
That was great. It was a stupid bird that would assault you all the time, and that was a good game because it actually had cinematics.
Oh, yeah.
So you would progress a certain level, and see the big bad guy with his bird, like, you know, abusing some woman or something like that. I don't remember. She was stuck in a prison and you had to go get her by karate kicking everybody.
So instead
kicking
of
a bird.
Instead of where the later game with Prince of Persia where you stab dudes with swords, you're kicking guys with your
And you're only just, you're going right.
Only right, no left and right.
Yeah, and well, the weird thing about that game is that there was 2 modes. You had to, you're either in your ready stance
mm-hmm.
for karate, or you could press, I think, B to, like, get into your running stance. And then if you're running, or standing still, but not in your karate ready stance, and a guy hit you, you are one shot killed.
Well, the Prince of Persia did that too, didn't they? If I remember correctly.
Oh yeah, you're
when
right.
You didn't
it's
have
the
your
same
sword.
Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
I know.
The same
I remember
guy who
was Jordan Mechner, I think.
Yeah,
name,
yeah.
Right?
That's the guy's name. But yeah, what was cool was that you had like six attacks in that game.
Wow.
You had a up, middle, and down, kick, and punch.
Okay.
And the punches were much faster, but they had less range and less power. And then the kicks were much stronger, but they're slower. And if I remember, you could, if you did like rapid kick everything, like, I don't know if your kicks did more damage. But the messed up thing was that you would start off with like half the screen would be filled with your health. And the more you get health down, like, you would regenerate some, but some of it would be gone forever.
Okay.
So you would get lower and lower, but the enemy's health would go all the way to the half screen, but the lower you got, it would just fill in that with your enemy's health.
Oh, wow. That's
to,
so the enemies
to
get
the
harder.
Point,
the...
To the point where I think it wouldn't go lower than, I think, five little health triangles or whatever it was.
Oh, wow.
So if you were not careful in the beginning, like, towards the end, it would just be impossible.
Because the enemies would take you a year.
Yeah, you got hit, like, three times, and it was just done.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if they regen health, too, but, yeah, that was a lot of traumatic memories on that.
So, and you said you got a Nintendo in the 90s, but you didn't even get a regular Nintendo, did you? You got a Famicom, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wait.
Oh, we'll get there.
So
after your Karateka.
Most... The games we mostly played, me and my older brother, we played a lot of the Sierra Quest games.
Oh, King's Quest.
King's Quest.
Police Quest.
Police Quest. Space Quest. And those are really good games, except, like, when I was, like, 6 or 7, it was kind of hard because I wasn't... You know,
our mental,
spelling,
yeah.
Spelling, like, skeleton was a challenge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you're, like, 7 years old and you're trying to do it under stress, but...
Well, and that's a lot... There's a lot of, like, logic puzzles in that where, you know, we weren't quite at that level yet to start critically thinking about
that. Well, and
that
some story. Of it was, like, just, like, super obtuse.
Oh, and
SOS,
yeah,
like... You gotta get, like, some kind of, like, trinket on one side of the world and you have to wear it and you've never worn any... There's no inventory system,
no,
so you've never... worn it or equip system. You've never worn anything the entire game, and then suddenly you have to do it here, and
you only have a few seconds to type it in,
yeah,
before the witch kills you. Or
the cool thing, I remember when we first had King's Quest, it was just cool because it felt like you had like this huge world, because you could go to anywhere you wanted, like left, up, down,
well, and
right.
You could totally screw up that game and not be able to finish,
yeah,
it,
and
right?
You could just die. And the cool thing about those games, well, old games, especially old PC games, was that you just die in these horrible ways. Like, the opening part of King's Quest 1 was you were outside of the castle, and you had to walk into the castle, and you had these small little, like, bridges.
Yeah.
But since it was just, like, a sprite character on, like, a background, you weren't really on a bridge. You were just, there was, like, a path that you were allowed to go on, and if you went a little bit off of it, you just fall in the water
and
you would get eaten by a crocodile.
And wasn't this before mouse support, so you actually had to...
No, there was
keyboard?
No... Yeah, it was just keyboard.
Because I remember later on, didn't they add it? I remember they added in mouse support, because I actually
played the
original.
Yeah,
King's
probably.
Quest,
but like,
they patched there. They
I don't even remember
if
we had a mouse on our IBM PC Junior.
It was all typey-type?
Yeah. We had...
We didn't have it on our Apples at school either. I know that.
Yeah,
so.
There was no... I mean, it was only with the Macintosh you had a... Yeah. My brother had an Apple IIe, and we had a whole bunch of games on there, but the bad thing about playing games on the Apple IIe was that we only had a green monitor,
and monochrome.
So everything was just green.
Yep.
Oh,
it was, yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah.
One of the games that I remember that
was... Oh,
really,
that was the thing. Our sorry to interrupt, but the monitors at my school, we did have some the colored ones, but they also had the monochrome ones.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you would get into the computer lab, there's like a dozen computers.
Oh, and
you
they would
rush to the
game, yeah,
scramble for the color,
oh,
monitor,
man.
So you don't get the crappy green monitor, so you can see Oregon Trail and number of bunch of color. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, because the green thing was just weird, and they would like do all of these like strange arty things, because,
yep,
there was like the different shades, or they would like pepper it with like these black dots,
yep,
to try to differentiate. It's just strange, but A couple of good games on the Apple IIe, before I get back to the Quest games, was there was this game called Stellar 7. You were like a space tank, and it was kind of cool because it was a first-person view, and everything was, what is it, vector graphics?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Or it was just all lines? So it was just these tanks all around, like lines, and then you moved around in 3D space, But the funny thing was that when you shot like this big
diamond-shaped thing.
I don't know if it was diamond or if it was like a box. I remember distinctly,
yeah,
this box that would fly through space.
I want to say I played that in the arcade. I have played that game. I didn't know what it was called though. But
yeah, Stellar 7. That
okay.
was rad.
So
I
it was like
terrible.
It
game.
Was like Star Wars, the arcade game, but only it was on a computer and you were on the ground as opposed to flying through space.
And then there was this other great game on the Apple called Earhart, and that was a rad game. I don't remember who made it.
Mm.
Might have to look that up, but it was a whole water world. There was no land, right? And you were like this single guy on this small little like hover boat kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool because you could move in all directions, left, right, up and down. No, it's Earhart, like air. But
Earhart, okay.
No, like a heart, like your heart.
Ah, okay. I can't spell. That's my problem. Nope. Not seeing anything here. Huh.
But anyway, yeah, you could move in all directions, and you had like a turbo, so you could actually like you would actually like have these thrusters, and it was cool because you could fly into the water. Trimobi. They usually have. So you could fly underneath the water and then come back up and then fly all around. But it was just all water, and there was these guys that would try to attack you and stuff like that. It was strange.
Wow.
It was really strange, but it was really cool because you had a freedom of movement, and it was like this magic wizards and stuff like that, and you would shoot stuff,
huh.
And you would collect these power ups, and there would just be like these. There would be like these cool enemies. There was like the standard ones that would just shoot you.
Uh-huh.
There was one enemy that would throw bubbles at you, and if you got caught in a bubble, like you would vanish.
Mm-hmm.
There was one guy that would try to suck you out of the thing, like it was like a suction cup.
Okay.
There was another monster that would try to eat your little hoverboard thing. It was a great game. That's
wow,
a cool game.
That's crazy.
That is a cool game. Like for the 3D movement, and it was just cool. And what was great was this era of games was great because when they would have a small little thing that was not like part of the game that didn't
mm-hmm.
need to be in the game that added a little personality.
Oh yeah,
it was just it stuck out in your mind. So when you go in the water, you'd hit the thrusters, go in the water, and you come back out. The guy would shake his head, and little water would spurt out. Like it was just cool, like animations like that. That was just great. That's why I like the.
Broderbund, oh god.
Oh, Broderbund, yeah, those are the guys who made the Lode Runner games.
And also Carmen Sandiego, if
oh,
I remember
yeah.
correctly.
And also on the Apple II.
Oh, snap, okay, this guy was, the guy who made this was the, he
oh,
made Choplifter.
He
okay.
made Choplifter, yeah, that guy was a, man, I wonder what happened to that guy.
I don't know, man.
But, but yeah, so that was a great game. And then, of course, on the Apple IIe, we played a lot of the games. There was winter games, summer games.
Also Olympics,
world
games. Okay.
And then it also became California games.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Epex or EPYX. I don't even know how to say that. That was an old developer.
Hmm.
But yeah. So those were great games. Those are fun games because they were kind of multiplayer. Most of the time you couldn't. Yeah,
epics.
Yeah,
wow.
That was a good developer back in the days in the 80s. But that was a good.
Oh God, they made that terrible joystick for the Nintendo.
500
I remember that
XJ.
Thing.
That was pretty. Yeah.
Oh God, that was a terrible looking joystick.
But what was cool about those games was, like I said, it was kind of multiplayer because most of the Olympic events or those kind of events were like one at a time. So
yeah.
You would get like five guys. Playing, and then each guy would compete like in the high jump, and it was just terrible, but it was great, right? Those are good games.
No, that's not, okay.
Yeah,
so,
those are good games. But on the back to the Quest games, like so, yeah, King's Quest was great. King's Quest 2 was pretty hard, and King's Quest 3 was great because you had like a magic system that you could really screw up and like just kill yourself and
oh, really?
Destroy
oh, wow.
all of your progress. If you don't put all the components right and all this stuff, like it was just pretty bad. Space Quest was hilarious, but it was pretty hard for like a little kid like me. And of course, Police Quest was really cool because it felt really realistic because you had to like observe actual police protocol.
Oh wow.
Like I remember if you didn't have if you didn't specifically type if you got a criminal and you didn't specifically type handcuff criminal in back.
Oh yeah.
Behind his back, and you handcuffed him in the front, the guy would just start pounding on you with his fist.
What?
And you would just die. Just stuff like that. It was
so
great.
So your police officer who had just subdued a criminal and handcuffed him could not defend himself against said beating him senseless.
I remember
handcuffed.
If you didn't walk around your car, because I guess there's police protocol, you have to check the car when you get in.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you didn't walk around the car once and then it said like, oh, you good thing you checked the car and stuff like that, and then you got in and drove off. If you didn't do that, as soon as you drove off, you would crash and just die, and it would say, like, you should have checked the car. But the funny thing is that you never found anything wrong when you did check the car.
Okay.
It was just a thing. It was just a consequence for you, like, not checking the car. So it didn't matter if the car was broken or not. It was always going to be break if you didn't check out the car.
So they had the kill switch on it, basically.
Yeah.
If you're not following protocol, Ricky Jones has to go into the telephone pole because he didn't follow protocol.
And the great thing about these games was, I don't know if you remember old PCs, but some PCs would have a turbo button.
I had a PC with a turbo button.
And if you press the turbo button and you were playing one of these Sierra games, your guy starts running around way too fast.
Yep.
And if you're on Police Quest, there's the normal side scrolling, like all those, you know, Space Quest, King Quest games.
Yeah.
But if you got in the car, it was like an overhead map, and you drove your car around.
Oh wow!
And you could crash so easily.
Well, yeah, clock speed going too
fast.
Yeah,
clock speed. Even without the clock speed, you'd be like using your cursor or like a joystick.
Yeah.
And I remember there is this one hotel with like a pull in kind of driveway.
Oh, like
like a hotel,
yeah,
you
yeah.
pull all the way in. And it was like at this small little angle and those like so little pixels to get through, and if you didn't have a controller,
you couldn't thread the needle.
You could not thread the needle, and it was just pretty crazy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty insane.
But the last Quest game, the last Sierra Quest Line series that I'd like to mention, of course, Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a great game. I don't know if anybody doesn't know who Leisure Suit Larry is, but it was an adult adventure game.
Yes.
And you were Leisure Suit Larry, and you were on a quest to try to get laid.
Yep.
That was the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
And there, you know, the usual adventure quest type things where you have to...
Same as King's Quest style game.
Except you were... But the cool thing about that game was that you were in the modern era.
Yep.
And there was, like, all these modern things.
Yep.
Like, it was just... Or present era, not modern anymore, because that was back in the 80s.
It was basically in the 70s is what that game looks like it was set in. But,
yeah.
I mean, he was wearing a leisure suit,
No, but the whole point of Leisure Suit Larry was that he was out of his...
Oh, out of his... Okay.
But, what was great was that the first game, I don't know, I only played the very first Leisure Suit Larry, but the first game had age verification system.
I do remember.
So it would first ask what your age was, right? And
yep.
if you put anything below 18, it would actually exit out of the thing.
I do remember
say you were
this.
Too young.
Yep.
So if you put 18, it would give questions around what an 18-year-old probably might know.
And this is before the internet, so like you couldn't really go searching for these answers
easily. If you put something like 50, I believe, I don't remember if this is actually true, but I remember thinking this was that the questions would be more of like a 50-year-old would do.
Uh-huh.
And if you put something like way too high, like 99 years old, like the game would also quit and just say like, oh, you're trying to fool us, right?
Yeah.
The funny thing is me and my friends would write down, we'd put 18, and then we would it was all multiple choice, and we'd write down the questions, and then if we got something right, or if we got something wrong, we'd write down what we got right, what we got wrong. So eventually we had like
a
little
notebook,
sheet so we could play the game like without guessing all the time. And so that's how we got around that, because there's only so many questions.
Oh, yeah.
But that game was great, man. It taught you safe sex.
Yes, because you had to get a condom. The very first
girl that you could... sleep with if you didn't have a lubber. That's what they called it.
They called it lubber. Okay.
They called it lubbers. If you had sex without a rubber, a lubber.
I remember.
Yeah,
this.
You would stand up and you would just die.
Yeah, your crotch would start.
Yeah, it would
show,
start
like
glowing,
a little pixelation.
Glowing or pixelation.
Yeah,
or something.
And then Larry would just keel over and die because he slept with a woman who was unclean.
That game also had some great meta humor. If you would die, sometimes you would sink through the floor.
Yep.
And it would show like a Sierra game character factory. There would be Prince, what's his name?
Oh, yeah,
Graham Drake from the King's Quest guy.
Okay.
He would be being assembled on a line. It was like the science factory underneath the game. So it was like a very meta, like we all live in the same universe.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
There was like a space quest, I think a robot or an alien. Like that was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, you would just get into these like crazy, like if the very first screen, and these games were very good at like the very first screen, you would have so many ways to die.
Yep.
If you went in the alleyway, you just get beat up.
Yep.
If you stepped into the road, you just get
run
over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was a great game just because the world felt so big. I remember playing it in college and like beating it in like, I don't know, 2 hours or something with a game pack.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just to see what the experience was. And that game is not long.
No. You
like,
can play it online now for free now, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there's Sarin.
Yeah, there's that whole crazy free play Leisure Suit Larry. I came to PC games late, so like I said, aside from my Apple experiences in school, we didn't actually get a computer that could play games until the mid-90s, like 94, right when I started high school. So that's when I started to get into PC games. Oh, no, that's not true. I actually did dabble a bit with, like, Monkey Island.
Yeah.
Because a friend of mine in junior high had a PC that could run it. And so we would sit down and, like, cooperatively try to play through Monkey Island. And those games, man, those were games that didn't give you any kinds of tips at all. It's like, well, here you go. You're on the island, and you kind of know what you need to do, but we're not telling you how to do it at all.
Well, see, what's funny is my gaming history is a little reversed, because when we get into the 90s, you know, the IBM PC Junior is, like, way too old. Can't do any of those games anymore.
Was that 1986, or was that an older version than that? Like, was that even that powerful?
Oh, I don't know. Mm. I do remember that it had two cartridge slots in the front of the thing. We could play this game called, like, Shamus and Mission Impossible.
Wow.
There was a Mission Impossible game. I can't even, for the life of me, even remember what it was. I just remember it was super hard.
Oh, man.
But, so we got away from
PC
gaming. And because we just started buying Macintoshes, we had like a Performa or something like that. So,
oh man,
like
I'm out of my element here.
So we stopped having like actual PC games because Macintoshes stopped, you know, started slowing down.
Yep.
Except for like a couple like cool games, but yeah. Then I got into more console stuff, and it wasn't until college back in like 1998 when I actually got back to
PC gaming. Okay.
So I missed like a whole like from like 92. Through 98. Although I did get Doom.
Okay.
And I did get to play Doom in other people's houses and stuff like that.
Okay.
But we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
One last 80s PC game that I want to talk about is this cool game called Texter, really quick. Texter was this Japanese game, and it was kind of looked like a Veritech fighter, like a Robotech kind of fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could transform from a plane to a robot that was walking around, and
yeah,
it was side-scrolling, and it was really hard because every time you shoot your lasers, your health would go down.
Okay.
Your lasers was tied to your health, and it would regenerate, but like the more enemies were there, you had to shoot more lasers.
So the closer
and
you came to death.
Yeah, and the cool thing about the plane was that it was fast and maneuverable. You could go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
The robot had to jump,
mm-hmm,
and it wasn't as maneuverable, but it had homing lasers.
Oh, okay.
It would just, like, shoot all over the place.
Oh, wow.
And, man, when that game was running, like, back in the day, like, that game looked great. Like, it looked better than any, like, Nintendo game, like, my friends were having. Like, it looked great. Like, the music was great, and it just looked and sounded awesome, and it was extremely hard. Like, I think there was, like, 16 levels in that game, and I think my, you know, 8-year-old self could probably get to, like, level 4.
Oh, wow.
I had my brother, who was older than I, could get to like level like 10 or 12 or something like that. But it was just stressful.
Yeah.
But it looked great. But that's a great like long lost game that I don't think
I've never heard
of
that before.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people think. So when you got your ultimate Nintendo set, like,
yep,
what other games did you start getting?
Oh, man. Let's see. After the initial three games that I got, there was I want to say I got Kung Fu. That was another one of the first wave of games that I got.
Yeah.
After Kung Fu, I also got Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, which I still have yet to beat to this day. I can't beat that game normally. I could always get to the second fight with Ball Bull, and then who's after him? Is it Soda Popinski after him?
I want to say Soda Pop is either before or after second Ball Bull.
Okay, well, yeah, it was either second Ball Bull I could get through, or I could get to Soda Popinski with, like, without even...
Soda
really...
Pop was a bitch.
Oh, yeah, he was a... He just...
That guy...
Destroyed me.
Was such a jerk.
And there were worse guys after that, so, like...
And he drank on screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Soda he wasn't drinking Soda Pop.
Oh, Soda Pop.
It didn't look like a Soda Pop
this,
bottle.
Yeah, well, it might not have, but that's what they told us at the time. Who knows what it actually was by the guys who developed it.
I love like, hearing stories of people who have, like, gotten beat by Glass Joe.
Ugh, that's...
Like, that's crazy. Well, what's funny with that game is I actually think the second guy, Von Kaiser, is
yeah.
actually easier than Glass Joe, if I remember.
Well, I mean, I think the guy who's the most annoying to fight is
King
Don
Hippo?
Flamenco. No.
Oh!
King Hippo,
what?
You can get through in less than a round. Don Flamenco is just a pain in the ass because you have to wait for him to do that uppercut before you can hit him. And you only
no.
get a certain number of times you can hit him before he snaps out of it. So you hit him, and then you can hit him like five or six times,
no,
and then he breaks out
no,
of it.
No, see, what you do, this is how you beat Don Flamenco. You punch him in the face once, and then he blocks, and then he comes with the uppercut.
Yeah.
So then you dodge that, and then you start punching him. You have to alternate it left
no,
and right.
No, I did that. No, that's the thing. The thing is, it just took forever to beat him. Because if you weren't fast enough and you couldn't get through
yeah.
the left
yeah,
or right,
I guess so. Yeah,
you would,
right.
you would get him knocked down twice, and usually you'd be at about 220 in the round, and you'd have like 30 seconds left to try and kill him. And that was not real time that it was counting down. It was super sped up time. And then Mario would come out and go, no, the round is over. And
I have this weird like memory of laughing all the time when Don Flamenco would come out. He would have that
rose
in
his
mouth,
yep.
And then he would do the uppercut, and the rose would vanish.
Oh yeah!
And like when I was a kid, I always used to laugh because like I would wonder why he was eating all of these roses. Like
you thought he was just...
Well, where'd it go?
He grabbed it with his fist.
No,
when he, came
he was
down for the uppercut.
No, he was uppercutting. Why would he grab it?
It's poor
his...
program. That's all.
I know. I'm just saying it was a
you,
weird memory.
I love
when
you
I was
created
a
backstory.
Oh, I created a backstory where Don Flamenco ate all of these roses. I have no idea why he would do that, but he just did.
And then there was Piston Honda, who would just destroy me in some days, and it was so annoying. Oh God, that game, man.
Piston Honda, no, I mean, the first real Roblox was, well, I mean, back in the day, because you didn't, there was no way to look it up.
No, you
didn't
look it up.
King Hippo.
King Hippo was...
King Hippo, if you didn't, I mean,
the
very first
trick.
Time.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, people might go, oh, you got stuck at King Hippo. Everybody got stuck at King Hippo. You're ridiculous
yeah.
if you didn't. Everybody got stuck at King
yep.
Hippo the first time.
Yeah, because you just keep punching him, and it's like,
you
what,
didn't
what's
understand,
going on
yeah,
here?
You
what's
didn't understand
the...
what's going on. I mean, you know, and then eventually you figured it out, and he's like a one-round knockout.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's easy.
And then once you get to...
But Great Tiger, was it Great Tiger?
Yes,
the guy
Great
that
Tiger.
Was vanished?
Yep.
That guy was... It wasn't, like, hard to understand the pattern.
Yeah.
It was just more...
The timing.
It was
his timing was hard. You had to be right on with those blocks when he'd go into the little invisibility, or the little dance where he'd spin around and keep hitting you every time he'd appear in front of you. So you had to hit that down to block right on time. So it was like a rhythm game almost.
Man, that was a great game.
That was a
there
great
was,
game.
There was a lot of funny stuff where, like... Like, I don't understand... I didn't remember how anybody figured it out, but I remember knowing that to... hold select in between rounds, you would gain health.
Was it select or was it A and B? Because you could hit A and B, and then that would he would start patting you faster. And you could do it on the in between the first and the second round. But if you did it in between the second and the third round, you'd actually lose health.
I want to say it's select.
Is it
but
select
either way, like, how did we know how to do that?
I,
it was just I just
remember
somebody
pressing a button.
I remember like another neighborhood kid
mm-hmm.
because I didn't have a Nintendo, so I would go to other people's houses. I remember another neighborhood kid saying like, "Oh, this is how you do this."
Okay.
And everybody learned it from that guy, but it was just like, how did that ever come about?
Yeah. Well, and this is right before, this is before Nintendo Power, so before you...
When did Nintendo Power come out?
Oh, God, I want to say it was 88?
Sure.
That's my best guess. I want to say it was 88. Because I know I got, after aside from Kung Fu and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and then, of course, Mario Brothers, which, I mean, there's no real need to discuss that, how great that game was. It even got
Mario Brothers is good.
It got my mom to play. Like,
Mario Brothers is good. Everybody played Mario.
My mom played Super Mario Brothers, and, of course,
Super Mario Brothers. Everybody
you know,
played.
Them actually moving the controller when they were trying to jump.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about, like, some of the cool, like,
Side stuff
on Super Mario Brothers was,
yeah.
Was it 3-1 where you could get the infinite of lives?
Yes, oh yeah, jumping on the turtle shell at the end of the level.
Yeah, yeah, I could never do that.
I had a friend
who could do it, yeah. And then you'd start getting those, like, weird, like...
Symbols. Yeah.
Symbols.
Cloud.
Well, it was letters, and
letters and
symbols.
And, like, there was a crown.
You could you actually break the game? I forget.
No, I don't think you could. Because,
okay.
I mean, you could, if you did it long enough, the time is still running while you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you die and you go and do it again, it's not really going to, it's just going to keep you extra lives. So, but yeah, aside from Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, I mean, played Duck Hunt quite a bit, and that fucking dog, every time, just laughing at me constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gyromite fell by the wayside real quick because it was
terrible.
Too complex, especially to play with Rob the Robot. And then Kung Fu, if I remember correctly, Kung Fu only had 5 levels to go through, and then after you beat the last boss, you just started over again. That was the caveat for those type of games. Yeah, it was a 5 world, and then you die, you beat the boss, and you'd go into the bottom world again, but the enemies would be much harder, so they would do much more damage.
Do you have Rad Racer?
I did not have Rad Racer, but...
I had a friend who had Rad Racer.
Yeah, I had friends who had Rad Racer.
Yeah, that was
I didn't
great.
Play that much. I mean, that was a Rare game, of course, one of their first...
Was that Squaresoft, I thought.
Oh, Square. Sorry, yeah, Square. Excuse me.
Before they're called Squaresoft.
Yeah, before they're called Square, yeah.
That was a rad game.
Really? Yeah, just, I wasn't a big racer game person, so I just couldn't get into it. I don't know. Maybe it's because I didn't have it. But
if
I do
you press
remember,
select while playing Rad Racer, it would do the 3D thing.
Yeah, that and 3D World Runner, and then, were those the only two games that used
I
that?
I don't remember.
And then I do remember when I got Zelda, the very first time I got Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. I mean, that was a birthday... I want to say that was a Christmas present that year. So I got Zelda...
I remember sleepovers
year after.
Sleepovers where me and my friends would just play Zelda 1 or Zelda 2, and we'd have, like, the maps from, like, Nintendo Power and all this stuff. Like, you just pour over this and go, like, oh, I wonder what does that look like? That looks crazy.
Yeah, I just remember... God, where did I get it? I want to say Nintendo Power... When I went back to play Zelda, because actually my first Nintendo, that first set, got stolen, or at least I was told it got stolen by my dad, along with all my first set of games. So I lost, like, my first NES, along with all that first batch of games, so like Kung Fu and Mario Brothers and all those, I lost all those. So I got a second Nintendo around 89, like before the Super Nintendo came out, like 88, 89. And then that's when I got Zelda 2. Which I played a bit, and I couldn't appreciate that game at the time because it wasn't the same as Zelda 1.
That game is, I think, over time, it's gotten a better reputation.
Yeah.
People have, like, appreciated. Because
it had XP, and, like, it had leveling up.
And
it was
crazy. It introduced magic into the world. Like, there was a lot of innovation in that game that people didn't know that came from Adventure Link?
Yeah, Adventure Link.
What was cool about that game was, again, it felt like it was one of the first games, and, you know, if playing now would probably be, you know, what you probably think, like, really? But back in the day, that felt really like an open world.
It did. It still,
like,
I mean,
it felt huge.
You could pretty much go anywhere you want, like, in that beginning part of the game. You might not live very long.
Yeah, you would die if you were in the wrong area.
Yeah,
because
I remember, like, the way the world... Overworld started out, you would go up and to the right to get to the beach area where it had the first palace. But after you go to the town and get the ability there, like the first magic ability that you learn from the guy, which is like, I want to say it was Shield, which would give you extra, like a couple extra hits.
That was really one of those games where, like, you could really, your skill level could, like, increase so much.
Oh, yeah,
like, from especially... When you first play it, it's just so hard. But I've seen people play that game that are extremely skilled at that game, and it's just it looks great.
Definitely. And then I do remember specifically grinding out like levels and on just the first enemies, like the give you like two experience each, and sitting there for like an hour and a half, I'm like, I'm gonna keep level.
I'm just gonna keep going through this.
Yeah. Gonna get my attack and my strength up so that I can be ready for whatever dungeons come my way. But
that game was rough.
Oh yeah,
that game was hard.
But and then you know, so of course playing those things, and then I remember, I want to say one of my birthdays between the NES time frame, was when they were running the Dragon Warrior promotion with Nintendo Power.
Yep.
And my mom got me a subscription to Nintendo Power
for that.
So I got Dragon Warrior, and that was my first time playing like an old, like hardcore RPG. Like, no story. That game doesn't really have much story. Like, you start in that town,
know.
It's like, you are the descendant of Erdrick, and you must go save this princess. That was it.
I don't remember if it was that or Final Fantasy I, if you even had names for your characters.
No, Final Fantasy I didn't have names for characters.
I think, yeah, okay, so it was Final Fantasy
you,
I.
But
like
in Dragon Warrior, you named yourself. Like,
you
so
named
I named
yourself.
Myself my name, of course, like every other, most
yeah,
people
yeah.
do. But yeah, they just said, you're the descendant of Erdrick. You need to go save the princess. Here's the world.
Here's some slimes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then, of course, since I got the Nintendo Power version of it, I got the strategy guide.
Yeah.
And I got this, like, laminated card that told me, like, what levels I would get the spells at that I would for my character.
It's so funny. When we became teenagers and, like, later on, like, you know, into college through the death throes of Nintendo Power, it became kind of like a joke. But, like, in, like, 88 or 89,
oh, the
like
first
Nintendo
years.
Power was... Well, actually, I mean, I would say in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Nintendo Power was great. Like, you would see games that you would never see in other places. Like, there was that cool, like, take a photo of your high score
thing. I want to say I took a photo, but I never sent it in. I can't remember what the game was that I did.
They had the envelope art.
Oh, yeah, the envelope art. And
I always used to love that.
They had the Nestor's Corner, I believe it was. Or was it the... I'm trying to remember
what
the
comic?
The tip. They had the comic.
Oh, the tip, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the secret tips, and it was always Adventures of Lolo.
Yeah. So, oh, and I also loved, like, what is it? Like, the top 10 games?
Oh, yeah,
whatever.
Top 10 of them. Or 25 expanded to, I think, at one point.
Yeah, and
but
like,
yeah, it was
Legend
like,
of Zelda was on there for, like, 30
yep.
years.
And
something.
Then Mario Brothers
yeah.
3, when it came out.
Yeah, it was
that.
On there forever.
So, yeah, I mean, Dragon Warrior, I actually played through with the strategy guide. And the crazy thing was that the strategy guide would, like, recommend levels to get to before you go to another
area.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah, like, it pretty much walked me through that game. So, like, I was killing slimes. And, you know, it's like, okay, when you get to level 5, you might want to take a sojourn up to Edric's cave and get, like, something there. I forget what was in there, but you had to visit his tomb.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, so I went up there, and it was, that game was really crazy. And that was the only RPG I played.
Well, my first RPG experience was actually Bard's Tale on the PC.
Oof.
Like, that was a crazy... That's a crazy-ass game. I mean, this is how crazy it was. To cast spells, you had to enter in a four-letter character. And mostly it would be like... I think Fireball was like F-B-L-L.
Okay.
Right? So it's kind of like... But if you didn't know what those... What the little shortened version of that spell was, like, there was no way
not
you would cast any spells.
Well, yeah, cause, and especially since that game didn't really give you, it just dropped you into a dungeon, right? And says,
here
you go, or is there a story?
If I remember, 1 and 2, it would just drop you in the town, was it Scarab Ree or something like that?
Okay.
And that was the main town of those Bard's Tale games, and it was just like, just go. Like, what was cool was that when you would start the game, you had to create characters, and you were creating them in an inn. So it was like a D&D adventure
okay.
thing where, you know, you would meet guys in an inn, and you would save these characters, and there was no actual, like, limit to, like, which characters you can use.
Okay.
So you can use, like, these super over-leveled characters that, like, I would usually use my brother's characters.
So you're like, yeah, we're going to go through this game so easy. What's happening
What's
here?
Funny is that just like at the time with D&D, Dungeons and Dragons at that time, they had negative AC. Like, that was, better. The lower AC.
So they didn't use the D&D rules in that?
Yeah, yeah. It had
they sort of used the D&D rules
and
in that?
And I remember my brother making graph paper maps of the dungeons. Because everything was first person, and it was...
Yeah.
And then that game was also crazy, was that every time you fought You would come up to an enemy encounter, and it would have like a cool picture of the enemy and stuff.
Yeah.
And it would have like a little like scrolling, like you would say, like your stalwart band of heroes, like find some like conjurer.
Well, yeah, and that's what Dragon Warrior did, except it was only one character.
Yeah.
But
it could be multiple, but there would only be one picture, so it'd be a conjurer and like five wolves. But
yeah.
There would just be a picture of a conjurer.
Just
the
conjurer.
But anyway, but you every guy on their turn would have an option of saying, I think it was fight, parry, flee, cast spell if they had a spell, hide if they're a thief,
okay.
Use item,
uh-huh.
And then there was attack other party member.
Okay.
And I never understood why
they would do that.
Why that would be there.
Well, were
there
any enemies that charmed
attack? I don't remember.
I wonder if that was like a...
The other crazy thing with that game was that Barstow 1 was only in that town.
Mm-hmm.
Which was crazy. And if I remember, the old IBM version came with like a cool like color map of
mm-hmm.
it, and it was like nicely drawn and
oh,
stuff
wow.
like that.
Nice.
But number 2 had different towns,
mm-hmm.
and you would have to walk to those towns like in the wilderness.
Oh,
like,
so you had to have maps of the wilderness
yeah,
too?
I don't
oh, God.
Even remember how like
Oof.
We even knew where those other places were. And the last thing that was so crazy with that game, and I don't know if any games do this anymore, but when you would level, you would not actually gain that level.
I
would just
I have
enough
yeah,
experience.
You have to go to the Adventurers Guild to level up.
Yeah, it was like Adventurers Guild or Review Board or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
they
have to petition
them.
Or
so
you have to pay to level up, too.
Yeah, you
have
to pay. It
it's like
dumb.
It costs you 500 gold
oh,
to
man.
Learn these skills.
All right.
And if you didn't have enough gold, you're boned. Oh, man.
Well, that ends the first part of our personal gaming history. Next episode, tune back in as we finish the 1980s with sports games, my first Famicom, and Super Mario Brothers 3.
Thank you.